Now I can say good morning. Good morning as I fumble with my microphone. Oh, what a delight to see all of you. Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you on this rally day, this kind of homecoming Sunday, and I greet you in the name of the God who is our dwelling place in all generations. And in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to make a home place for all the children of God in the world. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by virtual means. Regardless of how we came today to enter worship, we can still rest in the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet connected as the one body of Christ. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we do have a few announcements we want to share with you this morning. And as always, we begin by thanking our worship leaders, all of those who have made worship possible today, so our liturgists, our greeters, our ushers. I also extend a particular thank you to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that makes our broadcast ministry possible, and to Pegasus Natick for their broadcast of this worship. So today is Rally Day, and I want to let you know that we have some things planned for you in worship. We'll be doing a few things today. We have a celebration of our teachers, possibly presentation of Bibles, and blessing of backpacks, although if you have brought other bags or purses or briefcases, whatever you might like to have blessed, that you towed around yourself to make your life happen, feel free to have those blessed as well. There is a special program for our children that will be happening outside with Sarah Lynn and others. So we invite the children to go off to do some godly play activities following the blessing of backpacks. And after worship, we've got a picnic outside, and we've got some fun and games planned, so we'll enjoy seeing all of you who have made it a plan today to join us for that to come. I also want to extend a particular thank you to Bob Psyche and his team this morning for making our delicious lunch possible. So I want to call your attention, especially for some of you who might not have been in worship for a little while, to the inside cover of the bulletin, which lets you know a bit about our covenant for our worshiping community. These are some of the agreements we have about how we're going to be together in worship, such as wearing masks throughout the entire service. You'll also see there that during our worship, we will encourage you to hum but not sing. That's where we are at this point. We are hoping to be able to sing soon. However, we are going to be blessed today to finally have a singer in our midst. Beth Canterbury is going to be our song leader today. So she'll sing on our behalf during the hymn. So thank you, Beth. Also, for prayer requests, this is a really important announcement. Our prayer is a central moment in our time of worship when we gather our hearts and minds together to be focused upon those cares and joys that we know of in our worlds and in our lives. And so we are encouraging you to use, if you're in person here, to use the index card that you'll find in the pews to write that prayer request. It's difficult for us, we can't pass a microphone right now still, and it's difficult for your worship leaders to hear you if you voice these from the congregation. So this is one of those things that's really important to us that we're still navigating a bit. So please use an index card, and you can, if you just hold it up during the time of the offering, or just before the prayer, we will make sure that we can incorporate those into this morning's worship time. So also, you will see that we don't have time of passing the offering plate. So some of you have deposited offerings that you've brought today into plates at the rear of the sanctuary. If you've brought an offering and it didn't make its way into the plate before now, that's perfectly fine. The plate will be here at the conclusion of the worship. If you wanted to do that, you can. And also, there are multiple ways to give online. There's a QR code in your bulletin. And for those of you at home, you can visit our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Actually, those of you who are here could do that if you want to, using a smartphone. And also, we just want to remind you that we have sent out to our congregation invitations for us to be considering how we'll be generous toward this church's mission and ministry in the coming year. And one of the reasons we're doing that at this time of the year is that a capital campaign is going to be claiming our focus and attention during the next month or two. So we invite you, if you haven't already done so, and you usually make a pledge to please return those to the church office as soon as you can. This is going to help our the folks who are tending to our budget to act responsibly as they create a budget. So we have this morning Sarah Lynn, who's going to let us know about a couple of things happening in the program life of our church. And I need to say this. Sarah Lynn has been working, I won't say tirelessly, that's a really dumb thing to say, I think. She's been working very hard to craft programs for the year that will be interesting, that will be faith-deepening and faith-forming. And I just so appreciate your all of your efforts in that. And if you've seen the program brochure for this year, you will have some idea about the kinds of plans that Sarah Lynn has in mind.
Yeah, and we are kicking that off this week. On Wednesday, Jonathan will be running a three-week session on UCC basics. This should be so fascinating for those of you who might be interested in the UCC history, in how the different settings, from churches to conferences to the national setting, how we relate to one another, how decision-making happens in the UCC, and more important, how our values, commitments, and beliefs shape how we do and are church together. So we're going to have those conversations. And what we want to ask of you is to bring your questions and what, your perplexities, the things that you've been kind of mulling over and wondering. What thrills you most about our denominational home? And we want to bring all of those things to conversation. That's starting this Wednesday night at 7, and that will be via Zoom. So you can find those Zoom links both in the link email and on our website. So we hope that you'll join us for that. And then starting next Sunday, I'm hoping to gather a small group that's willing to journey with me for the year, to meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. to use the book by Brian McLaren, We Make the Road by Walking. And this is just a really fabulous book that helps us to kind of understand our own spiritual journey. And so I'm hoping that some of you are interested in that. You can RSVP to me, and you'll need to pick up the book on Amazon or at your local bookseller. And that starts next Sunday. And I don't know what's next. Okay.
I think what's next is that Mindy Hoge is going to give us a little update from the spiritual support team of the Capital campaign.
Yes. So just hello, good morning. I am Mindy Hoge, one of the members of the spiritual support team. We just wanted to remind you that in your bulletin you saw an insert, or see this colorful insert. This is a poll for all of you. We really value your feedback on our spiritual journey here during this Capital campaign. There's also a link that is in the link that you get every Tuesday in your email for the poll. So you can either do it online or on this sheet right here. And when you're done with it, you just leave it in the offering plate. So thank you.
Thank you. Doug Hanna wants to tell us some more about the Capital campaign. I know it.
We're going to have dual microphone Capital campaign announcements.
Hey, Doug. Doug, can you use the other microphone?
What's that? Other one?
Yeah, sir.
Okay, cool. So, save the date. It's in your bulletin just after the centerfold. We had hoped to have an in-person campaign kickoff event, but Delta variant, you know, we're just rolling with the punches. So, we're going to have a super fun Zoom kickoff event two Sundays from now at noontime. We will not be having front porch coffee hour that day to give opportunity for everybody who's been in person in worship that day. Time to get home, signed on to Zoom. We'll have a great time together. We'll hear what the sanctuary and kitchen study teams have been doing all summer. We will hear how the quiet phase of the campaign has been going. There'll be a very, very exciting announcement about that. And then, just before this event, you are all going to have received a surprise visit from the Capitol campaign, a surprise gift. Delivered to you, so we'll open that all together and have some fun with that. So we hope to see everybody there. We've been hard at work all summer. We've got a lot of great news to share with you. So hope to see you in 2 weeks.
So let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration. Actually, let's light the Christ candle first. Thank you, Elaine. So as I light this Christ candle representing the flame of the Spirit in our midst, I invite those of you who are worshiping at home to light your candle as well. And for all of us to remember that the walls of this church are expansive. The walls of this church are permeable. The walls of this church don't limit us. The walls of this church hold us for a time and send us forth into the world to be the church in the world. So by the power of the Spirit, we are bound together. And now let us continue our worship with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join with me. God has been our home in all generations. Before God formed the earth and the world, let us worship our God with thanksgiving and celebrate our homecoming with rejoicing. Please join with me in our opening prayer as we say together, loving God, you have been our dwelling place time out of mind. Before the earth was formed and people walked this planet, you were fashioning our life in its many forms. We come now to this moment of meeting and stand in awe before you, amazed to discover that you care about us. Thank you for having been with us, that spiritual home to which we all long to return. Bless our worship with your spirit and your loving, living word, by which we may be recalled to your home and to our lives as your people. Amen.
So remaining physically distant and yet emotionally as connected as you possibly can, I invite us now to share the peace of Christ and to do so perhaps by reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or maybe placing our hands over our heart with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing our peace with others. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
I just have to say how wonderful it is to see so many of you that I haven't seen in person in so long. Today we come together to celebrate and to bless the ministry of all of those adults in our congregation who give of their time and energy to the Faith Formation Program for our children and youth. These adults make our programs the vital, wonder-filled programs that and groups that are our Sunday morning godly play classes, our Connect group, and our youth groups. In each of these programs, we acknowledge that children have some experience of God and of the mystery of God in their lives, but they lack the language and, honestly, the permission and the understanding to express and enjoy that spiritual experience in our culture. So we give them time and space for that discovery. God knows us from when we were knit together in our mother's womb, and God has a plan for each one of us. And so that's all part of our Faith Formation program, to make sure that our children and our youth know that, experience that, and feel the presence of God in their life. And so sometimes we come to this place thirsty for knowledge and sometimes thirsty for community, right? I mean, even you know this, and our children do too. Sometimes we're thirsty for peace and grace. And so I am just so glad that we have the space and the time and the adults who are willing to put in the time to provide that for our children and our young people. So I'm going to ask our leaders to stand. So when I call your name, just stand where you are so that we can acknowledge you. And I know that many of our leaders couldn't be here today, but we know wherever they are, our blessing will follow them, and we can celebrate them even if they're not in this space today. So please stand. Jan Abrahamson, Michelle Brewer, Matt Basilier, Alan Brazier, Beth Canterbury, Robin Clausen, Mark Dixon, Gretchen Du Bois, Rick Du Bois, Amy Foley, Chris Gentry, Sarah Beth Guptill, Sarah Hanna, Mindy Hoag, Maureen Mann, Sue Massioli, Lane McDonough, Ken Pierce, Rick Ripley, Michael Rosendahl, Mara Shaughnessy, Tracy Civic, Bob Psyche, Grace Psyche, Jean Sniffen, Catherine Utley, and Christine Weddle. And Michelle, Michelle Matera, if you're there too, I'll call your name. All right. Well, these are our people. Can we celebrate them? And I hope you notice how many people it takes to do this for our children and our youth. So please join me in the congregational response that you find in your bulletin as we say together, we believe that the Spirit of God moves in each of us, no matter how young we are or how old we grow. God is as close as the air around us, just waiting for us to breathe in. No one needs to learn how to breathe. It is how we are made. It is language that we must learn, the language of God's great love story with the world, the language of prayer, the language of care, the language of selflessness. To teach that language of faith is our opportunity, our responsibility, and our joy. As we begin a new year together, we promise to share our faith with each other, children, youth, and adults alike. We will seek to make this church a community where all can experience the love of God. We make this promise with God and with each other as we strive to follow the way of Jesus Christ, our teacher. Amen. Thank you. So I'm looking out into our congregation, and I don't think that I see our third graders here. So we were hoping to present some Bibles to two third graders today, and I will check in with those families again. Either we will do it at a later date here, or I will hand deliver those Bibles to them. So we will miss that today. But just know that this is the presentation of the Bibles to our third graders is one way that we demonstrate to them how much we care about their learning the story and that great story of God and God's people and how we fit into that story. So, you know, we hope that those young people will get to know this book and really learn to love it as some of us do. So we will skip that part and move on to the blessing of the backpack. So if there are any children here, you can bring your backpacks or bags or anything else you brought with you forward. All right, Noah, you might be the only one who brought a backpack, but that's okay. So are there any other kids? Are your kids back there? Do they want to come forward? Come on up, girls. Even if you don't have a backpack, it's all right, because I have something to give to you. All right, so I just want to say that, you know, I'm fascinated by the cyclical nature of time, how each year we move through the seasons only to come back around to this, to where we started, that every year we come to this part where we're starting something new, right? So did you just start school recently? Just a few weeks ago, right? So it's a brand new school year, and maybe soccer or gymnastics or some other kind of activity that you just got started, right? Well, you know, as a church, we like to mark the beginnings of things. So at this time, we want to mark the beginning and show you that you have a whole community of people, all these people who care about you, and that you have a loving God who goes with you no matter where you are. And so we want to bless your backpacks. We're going to do that, and we're going to bless all of your bags as well, as Jonathan said. Whatever bag it is that you carry with you every day, whether it's a purse or a briefcase or a backpack, right? And everybody can take one of these. It's a little charm with a house on it to remind you that you have a home here at First Church Natick, right? And if you would like, a copy of the blessing that we're going to read. So I'm going to give you one of these. And you want to pick the one that you want? The charm you want for your bag? One of these. I know. You want to pick one? You can always get a different one if you don't like the color that you got. All right, so let's read together the blessing of the backpacks. Oh God, bless these backpacks. Make them strong for their job of helping our children to learn. May their straps never break, their padding never give out, their zippers never jam. May they never be forgotten in strange places. May the burdens in them be light, and may the bodies that bear them be strong and growing and blessed by your love. In the name of the great teacher, at whose knee we are all students, amen. All right, and so now the kids up through grade 6 can come downstairs with me. All right, come on, we're gonna go out to the tent.
So let us rejoice now. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given, certainly in the money that we have in our bank accounts, but more importantly, with all the other kinds of blessings in our lives, the children who bring joy to us and also challenge and yet deep satisfaction in the parenting and the caring for, and all of those other gifts that we have been blessed with, that we might use in the service of God and in particular in the ways that we extend warm welcome and our home place for many people who need to know that. So let us rejoice now in what we have been given and what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offering. I invite you now to pray with me. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to share in your creative and your restorative work among people. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. These offerings express our gratitude and our aspiration to be more fully your own hospitable community and home to all. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Now, when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment is the law? In the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. I am going to pray in a moment. I'm noticing that the batteries for this are maybe failing, so just let our tech people know that. Sorry for that to intrude on our worship. And I invite us into a place of holy consideration, a place of reflection, a place of being together in spirit. So please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, with folks returning maybe from summer sojourns, if you were able to do that, and with schools getting back into session and our faith formation and programs restarting, and more of us perhaps trying on what it's like to be in person in worship, I have been thinking that Rally Day is feeling to me very much like a kind of homecoming. And I have been wondering what about a place implants itself so firmly in our affections that we call it home. What is home or home place? Well, I want to show you my place of that I think of as home. This is Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. The house on the left that you see there is at 55 Main Street. It's the house that I grew up in. I know it's probably going to become a historical site from now on. I can tell. But I just grabbed this image off of Google Maps. Isn't that wonderful? Decades later, I not only remember the address, I remember the phone number, 413-625-6523. In my mind's eye, I can walk through every single room of that house. I can see in my mind's eye the fireplace with flames lazily and merrily going up along those logs in the fire. I can see the kitchen's old beaten formica tabletop. I can see the upright piano in the living room. I can see the blue room that I lived in as a boy, just a door away from where my parents slept, and also a door away from the red room, that little guest room, where my grandmother from Texas annually would visit us, and I can picture her there in that little place. She was a large woman. And I remember her snores as well. I can hear them in my mind's eye. And that, you know, that makes for home place too, because I also recall the people who were there in that home place. I picture my dad always sitting at the end of that formica table. Why? Because he is a lefty and the rest of us are righties. And it was always awkward for him to be sitting next to us. I think of my mom, and I can see her hands rolling out pie dough, and soon after that, I can think of the smell of pie. I imagine my brother playing guitar or maybe sitting at that piano, conjuring music in a way that I never possibly could. Magical, it seemed to me, I would hear Chopin in the air. My sister cutting my hair as I sat in front of that fireplace. Yes, I had hair. It's not a lifelong condition. Or sitting at the bedside of my grandmother as she went through her nightly routine. I was fascinated by it. Vicks VapoRub. Swallowing an array of vitamins that she swore by, right? Dropping her dentures into the glass of water. Kerplunk. Sounds, smells, sights, people, right? Home, whatever it is, means comfort, it means refuge, it means relative peace. Now, that said, I am not saying that all of the home places that we have known are always comforting, are always places of refuge, are always a place apart. I'm not saying that. Sadly, some home places, places that are supposed to be homes, are dangerous places for some of us. I know that. I'm talking here about true home, what we know in our bones to be what true home would mean for us. And true home is different. Home, it's been said, is where people go when they're tired of being nice. I know it sounds crass, but I love it. I love that. I love that because, after all, another major reason that we are so bound to home places is because those are just the very places where we can be most ourselves, right? The place where we can let down sometimes. After all, another major reason why we are so bound to home places is because those places have formed us. When we leave home, we are, in a sense, leaving ourselves and our identity that is bound up in it. It is no wonder, then, that we get homesick, right? Sir Walter Scott wrote, "Breathes there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, 'This is my own, my native land,' whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned from wandering in a foreign land." Every place other than our native land is a kind of foreign land, so we long to return maybe to that sanctuary where we can be ourselves most fully. With Dorothy, we know that there is no place like home, right? Homer's Odysseus journeys for 10 years home after the Trojan Wars. His will to return is so strong, he endures countless trials, tricking the Cyclops and visiting the underworld and struggling between Scylla and Charybdis. His men fail disastrously, but Odysseus proves that his will for home is stronger than his homesickness. We can easily imagine or wonder or remember longing for that kind of home, or home in that way. But I've been wondering, can we long so much for some place that we have never known or been, that we can grow homesick for it? I think absolutely so. Absolutely so. Eliza Doolittle sings, "All I want is a room somewhere far away from the cold night air with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely?" Eliza, a poor motherless child, pines for a home that she has never known. Her homesickness comes from wanting a life that she has never known, and wanting more out of life itself. So we can all understand longing for a particular place and its people. But there is another kind of homesickness, of a spiritual kind, a yearning for no actual place, but it can yet propel us along extraordinary paths of daring and adventure and discovery. It is the heart's drive to seek our heart's home. That non-specific and unnameable something or someone or some place that we feel will make us more complete, more fulfilled. In some ways, we are forever seeking a homecoming, I think. Freud said that thrust at birth from our primal home, the womb, and from our parents' arms, we are doomed to perpetual discomfort, unable to return home. And Adam and Eve's story in the Bible expresses a similar notion. Misused freedom estranges us from a relationship with God. In biblical terms, whether we accept all the details of that story or not, homesickness is yet the human soul's natural state, the price paid for self-determination, being who we actually are. Yet Psalm 90 affirms, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." This psalm is the only one in the Bible that is attributed to Moses, and I think that is a very, very interesting fact. Interesting because the Exodus, Moses' story, is a homecoming story. It tells of the Israelites' return to their native land of origin, of refuge, and of home. It also tells of the people's return to God, their spiritual home. It is a journey made not just from Egypt, but in a way, in biblical terms, from Eden. They discover that God has been their dwelling place, offering sanctuary and identity all along the road. And yet homesickness is a part of the human condition. We can't just wave a magic wand and make it go away. Poet Sir William Watson despaired of not feeling at home in the world, writing, "In this house with starry dome, floored with gem-like plains and seas, shall I ever feel at home, ne'er wholly be at ease?" So this is a homesickness, a dis-ease, a feeling that no place in the world can really be home for us, sometimes feeling that at least. And so our question, I think, at least the question I'm pondering today, is how do we treat this dis-ease? How do we treat it? What do we do about it? Well, I think one of the things we do is we try to create homes that provide refuge and sanctuary for our families, or maybe for other families, people who we love. But churches try to create home place too. So let's face it. The pandemic has disrupted this spiritual family. I know that. And some still don't feel that they can return to this place physically to worship. I know that. For many of you, being in this place and all together has been irreplaceable despite our best virtual efforts. And for me, this experience has underscored that church families provide a needed sense of sanctuary and identity, a spiritual home place. Congregations like this one reinforce this when they proclaim and embody the good news that we can be at home with God anytime and any place, and when they remind us how to make such a home real. Jesus tells us, loving God and loving neighbor, inviting us, Jesus tells us how to do this. And for him, it's pretty simple, loving God and loving neighbor. What's he doing here? Well, he's inviting us into something. He's inviting us into a way of being that opens us completely to God and to others, telling us that if we love God totally, this love is going to be expressed in our love of neighbor as well. So this is why it's essential to make our church home place ever more welcoming. A home bestowing love on all who enter, all whose lives are touched by us as well, those of us who call this place home place and who go forth to be the church in the world. It's one reason we signal this to others by our ONA affirmation and those flags, for example. It's one reason why we use banners to let people know the things that we most value, the things we're most committed to. And it is one reason why we are having a capital campaign, part of which is to make this place, a more accessible home place for those who have felt shut out, shut down, shut off. When we do, we can have faith in our future, in a spiritual home that wraps around us, offering comfort, renewal, peace, knowledge of who and whose we are, knowledge that sets us up well to go out into the wide world and to be and to do all that we can. God is our dwelling place in all generations, our spiritual home, because our origin is in God. How easily we forget that, I think, and take it for granted. I'm encouraging us not to do that. Beloved, may we recall and reclaim our home in God, creating a home for our siblings in God's family in every possible way that we can, that we may all celebrate good homecoming together. Amen. So we come now to a time of being in prayer, and some of you may have used an index card to write a prayer celebration or concern. Thank you. Any others for me? Let me lift these up. We are celebrating baby Noah and family. We'll carry that into our worship this day. We offer prayers for Amy's friend, Jean Marie, who is going through new and difficult experiences with her family. We lift up prayers for all of those who are experiencing medical issues. We lift up prayers for the family and friends of Pam Meekin, who is facing a difficult cancer diagnosis. Pam's the sister-in-law of Carolyn Cheever's brother. We're lifting up prayers for a sister, Jennifer, who lost her best friend, Yolanda, unexpectedly this past Wednesday, and especially for Yolanda's family, who now has to navigate a life without her mother, without their mother. And we lift up a prayer of celebration for Lily Dreher, grandniece of Doug and Sarah, who turned two this point this past week. And they wish this: Lily, may you recall, was born premature at just 2 pounds, but is thriving as a curious toddler now. So I want to lift up particular prayers as well for our faith formation program, for Sarah Lynn and all those teachers we talked about this morning and celebrated in the giving of their time as well. And I want to give thanks in particular, a special word of joy for Beth Canterbury, who, I don't know, I believe this is true. I don't think we have had a person sing maskless in this sanctuary for nearly 18 months. So it was a joy to hear her, and especially as I came into the parking lot this morning to hear her practicing with Tom and those beautiful sounds coming out the window. We get to hear them again. And I invite you now into prayer together. Eternal God, you have indeed been our dwelling place through all generations. In you we have our return that is possible because you are our origin. Though we may feel we belong in many places, we always, always have a place in you. Through your gracious love, you offer us a spiritual home in which we may always abide, a place where we may find shelter, a place where we may know that we belong, a place where we may feel the comfort and peace of being at home, a place where our dis-ease may indeed find some amelioration. And yet we are always looking for some other place that can feel more home-like. We continuously move from here and there and back again, or sometimes, Holy One, we spurn our homes, feeling them too confining. And sometimes we turn even for you, from you. And yet in your gracious love, even when we run from you, you anxiously await our return. And we thank you for this. Help us to find rest from this restlessness in your presence and embrace and encircling love. Loving God, we ask specifically that you bestow that deep abiding peace of being at home with you on those who we care about and know are deeply in need of it. We look to you to calm their nerves, to let them breathe freely again, to let them find rest in you as they face their times of trial. Holy One, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who told us that in God's house there are indeed many rooms, a room for each one of us, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. now, beloved, and as you do, may the God, who is our creator, restore your soul. May Christ, the good shepherd, lead you beside still waters. And may the Spirit, hidden companion, fill your cup to overflowing, and may you dwell with God forever. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.